Good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. Question: on what foundation do you have your identity? When I came back from serving at Bald Eagle Boys Camp, I wrestled with this question for some time. I struggled with the feeling of not really knowing who I was. I felt like I was a chief, but I didn't have the same responsibilities that I did when I was at camp. I knew in my head that I was a member here at Berea, I was a member in my family, but enough had changed in both of those that I wasn't sure how I fit in. And I had changed as well. So I was struggling with the question of my identity. I'd like you to do a little bit of an exercise with me this morning. How many of you like to take notes on paper? All right, great. How many of you on an electronic device? All right, so I only saw like a quarter of the people raise their hand. So there are three quarters of you who don't take notes. I would like all of you to participate, pull out a piece of paper and a pen or your phone. And I'd like you to finish two statements. I'd like you to finish two statements. You're just going to write this down for yourself. You can, whatever comes to mind. You're not going to share this with anyone else. Just whatever comes to mind. So statement number one is, I am a blank. I am a blank. Whatever comes to your mind, write that down. If it's three things, seven things, 21, write that down. I am a blank. The second statement, I see myself as blank. Whatever comes to your mind. This can be positive, this can be negative. It's whatever comes to your mind. I see myself as something. Write that down. I want to welcome you all to this part of the service. Thank you for participating in this exercise. The things that you wrote down about yourself are all, you could say, part of your identity. They're elements of what makes you, you. But however much these different elements that you wrote down define you, your truest, realest identity as a Christian comes from being in Christ. And so today I want to explore several reasons why all Christians should have their primary identity in Christ. And the first reason is that when we become a Christian, we are made a new creation. We're taking our text today from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20, so I invite you to turn there at this time. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20. And I'll be reading out of the ESV. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, the context, this obviously is one passage taken out of the entire book. The context for this is the first 15 verses of the chapter. And in these verses, verses 1 through 15, just to summarize, Paul is describing how, for the Christian, the earthly body will eventually pass away. And God will give us a new body that is like Christ's. And God does this as part of his work of reconciliation of all things to himself. Paul says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 5 that while we are in this body, we groan as under a burden. But this mortal body will eventually die, Paul says, and will be swallowed up by the new lively body that God gives us. And then Paul takes, and I love this, Paul takes the Corinthians to a deeper truth in verses 16 through 20. Paul says that in verse 16 that at one point the disciples thought of Jesus as a man, perhaps a very good man, a teacher, rabbi, but still a man. They did not understand who he truly was. It was not till after Jesus' resurrection, ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit that the disciples realized that Jesus was truly the Son of God. In fact, God confirmed that Jesus was his son by raising him from the dead and giving him a new, transformed, glorified body. Then, in verse 16, Paul explains that God is doing the same, will do the same, for Christians. Why? Because Christians are in Christ. This is just amazing. If we are, as Christians, in Christ, and all of Christ has been transformed, then all the Christians in Christ have been transformed. And that's you. That's me. The old body, our old identity, has been transformed in Christ. In Christ, we're made a new creation. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, well, and others as well, put great stock in being descendants of Abraham. And John the Baptist addressed this mindset in one of his sermons. And I'll just read out of Matthew 3, 7 through 9. John tells the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now, John is making several points here, but what's pertinent for our discussion is that it is God who saves. It is not someone's physical relation to someone or something else that saves a person, but that it's God who saves. God called Abraham. God gave Abraham, he gave David, he gave the Israelites various promises. And God can take a stone and transform it into a spiritual heir of Abraham. It is always God who does the work. God is the only one who can take something and transform it into something completely different. And in this case, it's a stone into a human, and that human is a child of or an heir to Abraham. So that is one point that John the Baptist was making. And the same is true for us. Paul builds on this in Galatians 3, and we'll be taking our second text from Galatians 3. You can turn there. In the first 25 verses, Paul is talking about how the promises God made to Abraham are for those who put their faith in God. So God made promises to Abraham, but anyone who puts their faith in God is an heir to those promises. Now, reading from verse 23. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law and imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. When we put our faith in God, we are born again. We are born into newness of life in Christ. Because we are in Christ, we are children of God. Do you see that? Christ is the Son of God. When we are in Christ, we are children of God and heirs to the promises that God promised to Christ. A Christian is one who has been born again, who is truly a new creation. And because of this, our identity as Christians should not be primarily in our family or our job, even our church, anything else. It should be in Christ as a child of God. So that's the first reason. Before Jesus ascended, he promised his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit to guide them. And in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says that God has made his dwelling in our bodies. He says literally, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God is dwelling in us. So the second reason that as Christians we should have our primary identity in Christ is that the Holy Spirit living in us wants to sanctify us completely. He wants to sanctify us completely. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays for the church at Thessalonica that God would sanctify you completely. And Paul is building on a tradition here. God has always called his chosen people to live a holy, sanctified life. The entire book of Leviticus is filled with commands like, do this, for I am the Lord. And I just want to read two passages out of there. In Leviticus 11:24, God is saying, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. And ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And later, in Leviticus 20, verse 7, God tells the Israelites, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And how well did the Israelites do with this? I mean, we know the stories, right? Not very well. I mean, sure, there were periods of time where they forsook their idols. They turned back to God and worshiped him, and God blessed them. But over and over and over again, they fell away from God. Can you imagine then Jesus' disciples' consternation when in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:48, Jesus, right after the Sermon on the Mount, tells his disciples, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were not able to keep the law. It was impossible for them. And here Jesus has just described a much greater, a much higher standard for them to live by. And he expects them to do it. But here's the difference. In the Old Testament, it was up to the individual, right? On their own strength, they had to fulfill the law, keep the sacrifices, keep the commandments. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and it was the Holy Spirit that would empower the disciples to live and empowers us today to live and be sanctified completely. Just like the example of the stone that John the Baptist used, it is God alone who can take something and turn it into something completely different. Can transform your life, my life, from being dead and in sin to being perfect in Christ. So what does this have to do with our identity in Christ? Well, if we don't see our identity as being in Christ, will we allow the Holy Spirit to do his transforming work? If I say something like, no, God, You can't take away my sarcasm. That's my humor. Everybody knows that's how I make jokes. I mean, that's me. That's who I am. Or maybe, God, you know me. I'm a family man. I enjoy spending time with my family at home. You wouldn't ask me to go into service, would you? I mean, that would be like denying myself. Or maybe it's your music, your clothes, whatever it might be, that and how you identify yourself. God wouldn't want me to change that because he created me this way. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be like Christ. God wants to transform you completely into the image of his Son. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." God wants people to see Jesus in you, and through that, to show himself. And I think that's what Paul is saying back in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, the first passage we read. And take a look at that. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. Paul says, all this, all what? All of the transforming work that God has done in you, in the Christian. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are, and here's the word, ambassadors for Christ. Who? God, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. When we become a Christian, we are in Christ, and the Holy Spirit living in us wants to sanctify us completely. And the question for us is, will we allow him to? The third reason that we must have our identity fully in Christ is because that identity does not change. And truly understanding this, or maybe even living this, is a journey that I've been on for, I don't know, several years, I think. It's only been recently that I discovered the question that I was wrestling with. And it was something along the lines of, when things around me, or a lot of things around me are shifting, are changing, what does that do to my identity? Is that like, am I changed somehow, or what does that mean for me? I don't know. Maybe you all don't wrestle with that, but I was wrestling with it. And for me, kind of back to my story of coming back from camp. So I've been at camp for 2 years. For those of you who don't know, it's a two-year commitment to be a counselor there. I was there for 2 years, and I came back, and I was reintegrating here. There were some noticeable differences in my family. Obviously, I had changed, but there were some, I saw significant differences, changes in our church. Several new families had come. The youth group looked different. There weren't the same people there. Some people got married, all kinds of stuff. And I would say even the overall external expression of our faith had changed. And I forget exactly, I think maybe we had just joined ADC, or maybe we were in the process of it, I forget exactly how that was. In my mind it was something along that line. And then I went to Faith Builders for another 2 years, and I came back, and there were more changes. And all of this is to say that, personally, I felt, the church that I was a part of, I was still a part of that church, but the church wasn't the same church that I had been a part of. So what does that do for me? Or what does that mean for me? And what I believe I am still realizing, and what God is showing me, is that things in life change. They just do. Job, your house, family, church, community, the government, etc., etc. Everything changes but Christ. Christ never changes. So what does it have to do with my identity? Oh yeah, I am in Christ. And so my identity, if it is rooted in Christ, does not change. It is solid. Jesus told a parable to his disciples of these two guys, and they were looking to build a house. I guess they wanted a change of view. And this one guy chose a sweet beachfront location. I mean, he wanted to be so close to the ocean that he built his house right on the sand overlooking the ocean. It was beautiful. And another guy built his house nearby, but he drilled down through the sand and drilled anchors into the bedrock that was underneath the sand. And for both of these individuals who built their houses there, the wind came, tide washed up, all kinds, there were storms probably. There's like storms on the ocean all the time. And the world around them shifted and changed. And for the individual who had his foundation on the changing things, the sand, his house collapsed. But the individual who had rooted his foundation on the bedrock underneath the sand, his house stood firm. The same is true in our lives. If we build our identity on something susceptible to change, ultimately, it will collapse. But when we put our identity in Christ, it will always remain unmoved. And I love this verse. It was Menno Simon's favorite verse, 1 Corinthians 3:11. I think it sums up this truth exquisitely. It says, "Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That is our foundation. So I believe that as Christians, it is essential, imperative, that we find our identity in Christ. And I've outlined three reasons why I believe all of us should do that. First, the Bible is clear that when we are born again, we are made a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. And the second reason is that the Holy Spirit living inside us wants to sanctify us completely. Will we allow him to if we don't see our identity as being in Christ? And thirdly, everything around you will change. Your identity will continue to shift. You will be unstable if you are not rooted in Christ. That is the only immovable foundation, a foundation for our identity. Now, I don't want you to mishear me. I'm not promoting any kind of like just me and Jesus lifestyle. I think the Bible is really clear that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And we're only as much a part of that as we are committed, contributing members of that body. However, if you are willing this morning to surrender your self-formed identity and embrace God's identity for you, then in closing, I would like to give you three keys that, if you take them, I think will unlock the door to your heart and allow God to do his transforming work inside you. And the first is to reflect. Reflect on the various influences in your life, those things that you wrote down. Reflect. What are the voices that are calling for your attention? Perhaps this is family, friends, media personalities, political views, music, I don't know, could be lots of things. But reflect on the voices that are calling for your attention. And the second is to acknowledge. Acknowledge that these influences have actually shaped you. They're important to you. They're part of who you are. So much so that you might not be sure who you would be without them. So acknowledge. And the third is to surrender. Surrender these influences for each category. Surrender it to God to do with as he wills. Surrender your will to God and ask the Holy Spirit to conform you into the image of Christ so that you, like Christ, can show people the Father when they see you. And through you, they can come to know the Father. Thank you. And I'll turn it over to James.